Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
The text I want to point us to today is Romans chapter 2, starting at verse 12. And I want to read it to you, and then we're going to dive in our series that we're calling, There's Something More. There's Something More. And I want to talk a little bit more about that today. This is incredible. This is really incredible. If you're here today and you're a thinker, you're like you like to think about stuff. Now, some of you I know are getting up and grabbing coffee now because you're like, well, that's not me. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, all you coffee people. But here's what's up. If you're a thinker, this is going to be a really fun day for you, I think. Because I'm talking about some stuff that touches on almost philosophy and also touches on kind of like how Jesus wants to maybe speak into some of this thinking. So I'm really excited about that. We'll see where God wants to go. Romans chapter 2, starting at verse 12, this is what it says. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do what the law requires, they are a law to themselves, even though they do not have the law. And now verse 15, this is where we're going to be spending most of our time. The Gentiles show, that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness. And their conflicting thoughts, or their the Greek there is probably better, like, and together in the back and forth between themselves, okay? The back and forth between themselves, accusing or even excusing them, their thoughts accusing or even excusing them. On that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. We are in a series that we are calling Something More. There's something more. There's something going on. Last week we talked about and we tackled this idea, right, of that nearly 75% of the world, right, is of really the 7. Whatever it is billion people. Nearly 70% to 75% are in pursuit of something more. They're either Christian, they're either is a Muslim, they're either like Hindu, they're either Buddhist or Jewish, essentially. I mean, there's this pursuit of something more going on, and we just kind of know this to be true. And last week I unpacked this idea that the more in the Christian life is like, of course, God, right? But then there's even like his family. And last week my main point was that you and I get to be part of God's family, a promise that was given thousands of years ago to a guy named Abraham, right? I mean, an incredible thing, and we get to be part of that. And I really tried to unpack that, and to me, I just walked away like, man, I hope people got what I was trying to say. You know, one of those sermons? Because I was like, man, this is so huge. And we get to be part of it. Today, it's almost a little bit of a different approach. We're going to be looking at natural law today. And I'm going to kind of unpack this idea of what that is and what that means for us, okay? So let me say a prayer, and then we're going to dive in. Lord Jesus, please show up right now. Please show up. Jesus, apart from your spirit working, we're kind of screwed. I know I am, and even just trying to deliver this message. Ultimately, Jesus, you got to do it. Holy Spirit, work now in a mighty way in our hearts and in our lives. Open us up to receiving this word and where it's taking us, where it's drawing us. And help me to just kind of disappear slowly, Jesus, and you just receive all the glory right now. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So my kids, I wish this was one story, okay? I wish this was one story, but it's not. This is like every single day. My kids are constantly coming to Jackie and I, right? And they're constantly saying things like, hey, my sibling, I'm not using names this morning. My sibling, right, just did this to me. They just took the Lego piece out of my hand, right? They come to us and they're like, hey, my sibling, whoever it might be, right, just did this to me. They looked at me. They looked at me in that way. And mom and dad, I'm coming to you because they need punished. They need punished. They need something bad to happen to them because of the bad thing that they did to me, right? Hey, anybody know about this? Anybody know about this when you had your brother or your sister? Or some of you dealing with this even now today? Right? Kids that are in the room, youth in the room, you know what I'm talking about? Like when something is done to you that isn't fair, something that happens to you that's not okay, oftentimes what do? You go to mom, you go to dad, and you say, that, what happened to me wasn't cool. Right, kids? Right, adults? I mean, if we were an amen church, there'd be some amens. That's the reality. That's the reality of just kind of like sometimes being a parent or being a kid, stuff's not fair always. Stuff happens to us. It's not cool. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, we as people, we know when things are right and when there's things that are wrong. Don't we often know that there's things that happen that are just not okay? And then there's things that happen and we're like, that's good, that's bad. I mean, the flooding, right? And people stepping up to help other people. We just know that that's a good thing. We know that when you go out of your comfort and you go help somebody else, that equals good thing. We know as we're driving down the road, when you cut me off, bad thing. You know what I'm saying? And then bad thing happens to you. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. But in our spirit, we're like, this is okay for me to just, you son of a gun. You know, and because why? What are we appealing to? What are we appealing to when something is fair, something is right, something is wrong? What is that? Now, that's actually a deeper question than many of you even fully realize. And I'm going to try to unpack it a little bit here. But we know, you know, we're talking Legos here, not a big deal. But we know something like murder. Now, just hang with me here for a second. Murder. Let's go to a really big one, right? Murder's not okay. Right? Murder's bad. Murder's a bad one, right? We know that to be true. I don't care if you live in Japan, murder's bad. I don't care if you live down in Venezuela, murder's bad. I don't care if you live in Texas or Wisconsin. I don't care if you lived in the 1800s. I don't care if you lived in the 1500s. I don't care if you live in 2030. Murder is bad and it always will be. Murder's not okay. There's something inside of us. I don't care today if you're a Christian. If you're here and you're an atheist, you're agnostic. You actually don't even, you have lots of questions about God or faith or church, or you're wondering about different things. You know, we're a come as you are church. We want people to be here who are wondering about things and who have questions and are searching and thinking and want, just desire community. I get excited about that. Actually, today, if you're here, I actually would appeal to you and I would ask you the same question. Isn't murder just bad? Murder's just wrong. Something like rape, this is not okay. No matter what people might say, no matter what other cultures, and it's actually interesting, you should do a little study on some of this. There's actually different times in different places where some of that is seen as okay. It's not. It never has been, it isn't now, and it never will be. It's not okay. Stealing. Lying. We know deep inside of us there are some things that are simply wrong and there's some things that are simply right. And we just know these things to be true, don't we? respect for parents across cultures. Across cultures, there's this general sense of like, come on, it's my mom. Come on, it's my mom. She's not perfect. She's not the greatest. She's my mom. She brought me into the stinking world. She's kind of a big deal. But why? This is my question, and I want to tackle this today. Why? Why? Why in you, when you think of murder as wrong, why is that wrong? Why is murder wrong? Why is something like rape, why is that just always wrong? It always will be, it always has been. Why is it wrong? I want to tackle this by looking at three things today. I want to look at what our culture teaches us about this. I want to look at what our text teaches us, or Paul teaches us about this. And I want to look at what Jesus and how Jesus ends up with this. Here's what our culture says about it. Our culture, now this is kind of generally speaking here, but I think you'll find it to be really true. Our culture really believes in this thing called, essentially, morality being relative, right? Morality being essentially you deciding, right, what is true and what is not, what is wrong, what is right, because it's essentially built on individualism. Morality is up to you. You get to pick what's true and what's not true. We see this and we experience this when we say things like, don't judge me. Now, really think about that. Have you ever said that? Many of you have actually said something like that before. You can't judge me. You can't judge what I do behind my closed doors. I do me, you do you. Oh, really? Okay. Really? Now, let's take that thinking just a little bit further. See, we, as a culture, our culture teaches us, especially from a materialistic, evolutionary worldview, okay, evolution is a worldview I'm talking here, we actually begin to teach some of these things that as individuals, you make up your own kind of mind about what's right, what's wrong, and it's on you. You get to choose. But we look at it and we're like, well, wait a second. There's people that have done like shootings or something before who say, man, no, this needs to happen. Right? Now, we call these people psychos. I get that. But they're like, no, this needs to happen for our culture. This needs to happen. And we're like, no, it's just wrong. We look at something like abuse and somebody's like, no, that's what she deserved. And we say, no, that's wrong. That's actually not okay. I don't care actually what you think about it. It's wrong. Now that actually begins to move us somewhere, folks. Stay with me today. Our culture begins to really teach us this morality is relative. It's kind of up to you. Don't judge me. You can't say that I'm doing anything wrong. I'm me. Now that quickly changes when? When you get hurt, as soon as you get hurt, then you cry, hey, that's not fair. And as soon as you say something like, that's not fair, what are you appealing to? What are you saying? What's the higher thing that you're appealing to in that moment? See, there's some things that are simply wrong. And our culture essentially says, what? Some of you have actually already gone there in your mind, if you're following me. Some of you already have gone to this place where you say, well, the higher law is as soon as somebody gets hurt. Isn't that true? You won't shake your head yes, but you already bought into it. As soon as somebody gets hurt, that's when it's not okay. Everything leading up to it is okay, but as soon as somebody else gets hurt. So I can look at pornography in my home, right? Nobody else gets affected by it. Nobody else gets hurt by that, right? Well, no, I'm not sure about that. See, does anybody really get hurt when you send people of a certain color to the back of a bus? See? No, that's kind of relative. Kind of depends on your point of view. And 50 years ago, that might be a serious debate. Sending people of a different color to the back of a bus, is that wrong? Is that bad? I mean, I don't know. Now, of course, we are so much more advanced. Of course. You know, we're way much higher than that. We're higher than those predecessors who bought into these ideas of maybe slavery or these ideas of sending a certain kind of color to the back of a bus. Does anybody really get hurt? Well, I don't know if anybody really gets hurt physically. You just go to the back of the bus, not a big deal. I mean, does anybody really get hurt when you start to create a culture that's so sexualized that I literally have to cover my kids' eyes as I'm driving down the highway looking at billboards and changing commercials? Every time my kid, are you kidding me? Oh, sorry, let me turn. Well, you don't think that starts to affect me and my family? So what? We've bought into this idea as a culture of relative, like, laws are kind of like relative. But, you know, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, here's Martin Luther King Jr. What does he do? What does he do from his jail, from his prison cell? In the Birmingham Letter, have you ever read that? You ever go look at that, baby? Now, this is an incredible thing. This is what he does. And he makes a very interesting philosophical move. And of course, theological as well, but he basically, from this letter, go read the letter. He says, no, I get it that our culture has bought into a certain way of thinking about this, stemming from individualism that then kind of bubbles up into our community and into our culture. And now we have certain laws that say this is okay. And I am saying, I am appealing to what? Something higher. There is something bigger than even what the law of the land is saying. But I get such a kick out of this because the very guy who we celebrate can't actually do what he did in the way that we think about life. We wouldn't let him. Because he is challenging the status quo. He's challenging the, you know, whatever you might say. It's 60-40, it's 70-30. Hey, man, we've already voted on this. This is the way it is. No, it doesn't matter if you voted on it. It doesn't matter if it's 80-20. It doesn't matter if it's 81. Oh, snap. You know what I'm saying, the math. Doesn't matter. There's something higher. There's something bigger. And I'm going to get a movement going behind it. Now, as soon as you say yes to that, as soon as you shake your head to that, you've just moved in a very specific direction. Doesn't mean you've moved towards Christianity. It just moves, you move towards this idea of there being a higher law. And now you've just opened yourself up to the possibility of that happening again. Well, you don't think we struggle with certain things? Our culture as a whole says abortion is okay. I simply ask the question, is it? You don't have to answer. You don't even have to answer. Because there's going to be different thinking on here. But this is what I want to challenge us with. Well, we celebrate a guy who's coming from the bottom and is saying, no, there's actually something bigger. And then there's others who start to challenge sexual identity stuff. Whoa, don't go there, Seth. No, don't go there. Well, we think we're totally got this baby figured out and we're all, you know, we're on the right track now. You don't think there might be someone who comes along and says, no, abortion is not okay. It never has been. It never will be. It's not now. It's not. Yeah, but you can't tell me what I can't do with my body. Holy smokes, do you see where moral relative, do you see how you celebrate somebody who did the exact same thing? That's something you got to really wrestle with. I'm not looking for yesers. Yeah, okay, we're going to be. I'm not talking about political parties here, one iota. I'm talking about, is there something bigger that potentially you've actually lost track of in some ways? But then there's another sense in which we know it to be true. We know rape's not okay. It never will be. It doesn't matter if our entire church were to say today, rape is okay. It's no, it's not. It doesn't matter if the entire our entire culture would say, this is okay. We would say, no, it's not. It's not okay. But what, why? What are you appealing to? And be very careful that you're just appealing to yourself again. Because that philosophical argument starts to just break down quickly. So what are you appealing to? Why is this important? This is a quote. I've totally missed my notes here. I just wanted to quick share this quote. Now I'm way ahead of it. This isn't even going to make sense, but that's okay. This is from a book called Doing the Right Thing. This is what he's talking about. Scott Ray here. This is what he says here. Listen. All great moral reformers had to appeal to a transcendent, objective, and universal moral law that opposed the existing moral consensus of the culture. Listen, that's what Nelson Mandela had to do. What else? Who else had to do it? That's what William Wilberforce needed to do. That's what Abe Lincoln's got to do. And then this actually goes on to say, that's what the next people will have to do, and the next people have to do, and the next people have to do. You'll actually disagree with the cultural norm. And they'll have to say, no, this isn't okay. Doesn't matter that 99% of the people say it's okay. It's not. There's something bigger. What does Paul have to say about this? Okay, I got to keep moving here. We got other churches worshiping today. Paul understands this. Look at this text, Romans chapter 2, verse 15. They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts. They, the Gentiles, show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness. And they're back and forth between them, their thoughts accusing or even excusing them. The Greek there is this doesn't quite capture that. Here's what's going on. The Hebrew people, the Israelites, okay? The Hebrew people had God revealing to them the law, the Torah, okay, the Ten Commandments, put on stone, right? Also ceremonial laws. God is, go read Leviticus or something, okay? You know the one that you always skip over because you're like, in the Bible there's a book called Leviticus. It's a toughie that you maybe got to swallow, right, and get through. This has been given, it was given to God's people, the Hebrews. God gave it to them, okay? And Gentiles are essentially everybody else. Now, God did reveal, has kind of revealed certain things as you look through the prophets. He's revealed certain things to the nations as well. But ultimately, God's law, his Ten Commandments, had come through the Hebrew people. What the Apostle Paul is saying here, and actually it's very interesting because he's very careful with this. He's very careful. He actually doesn't call this the works of the law, which oftentimes in the book of Romans, which is where we are, works of the law is used in a negative sense. Here he says the work of the law in the singular. And what he's doing is he's actually putting a positive spin on this. And what he's saying is he's saying the Gentiles didn't receive all that maybe you who are Jews now and those of you who are Israelites, all that you've received, but, now I'm going to speed this up here, but they do know that murder is not okay. There is the work of the law has been put on their life, has been given to them. And my reading of this text, and some people read this a little different, but my reading of this text is that this is talking about those even who are not saved. That the Gentiles have the work of the law that has been put on their life. And they now know rape is not okay. Generally speaking, they know murder is not okay. Stealing's not okay. It's not okay in this culture. It's not in this culture. It's not in this culture. We're never going to grow out of this. It's just the way it is. Racism isn't good. It's bad. This is not okay. And we just know it to be true. And what the Apostle Paul is saying here is he's actually saying, we actually know what we should do. We know what we should do. These are timeless. They're across cultures. You know. Deep inside of you, there's something more. I'm really trying to say, I want to speak to you today who maybe isn't a Christian. You know there's something more. You know there's something bigger. You know that a worldview that's essentially built on violent biological and chemical reactions. For you to get where you are today, a violent process, by the way, of just chemical reactions, biological reactions, bah, 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 until you're finally here, and then you say to your kids, I love you. Where does that come from? And I'm going to go to my neighbor and I'm going to help them. How? Why? Why would you do that? I've been actually watching some just atheist YouTube videos this past week. I was just kind of reading up on some different things. I just can't wrap my head around it. And actually, if you understand philosophy at the base level, there's faith no matter what. There's things you have to end up believing about something. That's just the reality. And Christianity just is trying to make sense of the world, actually, that we're living in a lot of ways. Now, I mean, through Revelation as well. But I guess my point is simply this. Why is this important? Because moral law, listen, this moral law that's written on our heart, that doesn't get you to the Christian God alone. That, it's funny because I know everybody's thinking, oh, he just moves towards Jesus. Of course I'm going to at some point. But actually just thinking about all of what I've talked about, that doesn't lead you to the Christian God. That actually might lead you towards other thoughts and thinking around just moral law, higher level. There's something bigger. You got to give this some serious thought. I want to encourage you to dig in. Think, reason, process. C.S. Lewis, in his book, Mere Christianity, this is what he says. He basically uses natural law as the starting point for a lot of his thinking. On page 8, he says this, early on in his book, these, then, are the two main points I want to make. First, human beings all over the earth have this curious idea that they ought to behave in a certain way and cannot really get rid of it. And secondly, that they do not, in fact, behave in that way. They know the law of nature. They break it. We know there's something wrong. We know there's stuff that's amiss. As we look at our world, as we look at our lives, every one of us, I think, can honestly say we're breaking something. We're messed up. We need help. In Romans chapter 1, I don't have it on the screen, just in the chapter before, the Apostle Paul says, they will exchange truth for a lie. Truth will begin to be suppressed. Chapter 1, verse 18. And actually, what's really fascinating about this, just follow me here, just a couple more minutes. What's really fascinating to me is that we'll begin to suppress the truth so that even natural law will start to get off in us. And all of a sudden, there's things we won't know even, because we'll begin to push it down and push it down and push it down. And we'll start to get off about what really is true. And this is where Jesus steps in. Look at I think of the things in my life. Can I just share this? I think of my past. There were times in my life where I convinced myself that there were things that were okay. And when I look back on them now, I can honestly say, no, they were not okay. Now, if you asked me in the moment, I would have reasoned out some kind of articulate thought around maybe why this is okay. But just think about that. If I'm honestly saying that, what could that mean for me now? Have I bought into somehow some idea of pride that I've articulated in such a way that pride's not even that big of a deal in my life, when maybe 10 years from now I'll look back and I'll say, no, that's wrong. I was amiss. It wasn't right. 1 Corinthians, I tell you what, this text will blow you away. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. This is the Apostle Paul writing again, a different letter. This is what he said. Watch this. for I am not aware of anything against myself. He says, in this moment, I'm not aware that I've done anything wrong here. As I reflect on my life right now, I'm not aware of anything that's wrong. But what does he say? But that doesn't mean that I'm acquitted. Just because I reflect on my life, I'm like, no, I'm pretty good. I'm actually okay. Doesn't mean you're acquitted. Just because your conscience is clear doesn't mean you're acquitted. It is the Lord who judges me. And look at our Romans text, and I don't have it on the screen, but what is that Romans text? How does our text end? Our text ends with that, right? On that day when, according to my gospel, God judges the secrets of men by Christ Jesus. There's right and there's wrong. And some of it we can kind of know. We know there's certain things that are wrong. We know there's certain things that are right. And then there's some things we might actually be off on. And I'm telling you, this is what gets me. As I've been thinking about this message, Jesus gave me this. God gave me this. God gave me this because this is what God has done. Is God meets us right there. And where I see it the most clearly for this particular message is actually on the cross in Luke chapter 23. In Luke chapter 23, look at what happens here. Check this out. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals on his right and his left, he's a criminal. He's literally being killed as a criminal. Even Pontius Pilate has just got done saying, I can't find anything wrong with the guy. There's something about inside Pontius Pilate who's like, he hasn't done anything wrong. A little bit later, we have a centurion at the cross as Jesus takes his last breath. And the centurion says, clearly this man was the Son of God. This guy was innocent. He didn't do anything wrong. The natural law is at work in these guys. They know, man, it doesn't seem like there's any. But then there's a bunch of people who are often, they're literally nailing the God of the universe to a cross. And how does Jesus respond? Man, this is the gospel. Jesus looks to heaven and says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They don't even know what they're doing. Forgive them, Jesus says to his Father. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Maybe you bought into racism. It's not that nobody really gets hurt. Maybe you've bought into this idea, hey, what I do in my home, that's me. What I look at my computer, I do, that's me. It's not you. You don't judge me. Maybe you've bought into this idea, man, you know, certain levels until a baby's at a certain place. You know, my identity, it's kind of me. It's what I choose it to be. Maybe you've bought into some of this stuff. And I'm just kind of bringing the word today saying there's judgment there. There's judgment of right and wrong. What's really right and what's really wrong. Always will be, always has been. It is now. There's something higher. And how does Jesus meet you in your brokenness with that stuff? He says, Father, forgive them. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't even know what they're doing. Even natural law in them is amiss. The imageness that was given to them at creation, it's amiss. I'm coming back to restore it. This is why we look to the cross, guys. This is why we look to the cross and we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, because he is the one who begins to retrain us. If there's one thing I'd appeal to today for you, it's this. I'd appeal to you to begin to follow Jesus. And let him teach you. Let him begin to transform your thinking. Let him begin to be the one who trains you, who leads you, who guides you in every single aspect of your life. Begin to follow Jesus, the one who brings us forgiveness. When we know, and even when we don't know, when we've made mistakes in our past, and even the mistakes you're making right now in your life and you don't even know it, turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus right now. Man, I'm going to encourage you with that. I want to lead us in a time of prayer. I don't know who needed to hear this message today. I was really confused on why God was bringing this message on Mother's Day, honestly. I don't know if I said mom once. But I do think many of you moms have people that you know, potentially in your own family, who you wanted to hear that message. Because I think sometimes when we're alive and well and everything's good, like there's an arrogance to that. And we need to stop and just really think about some of this. Jesus is going to judge? Or could it be that Jesus has already received our judgment on the cross? And for those who put their faith and their trust in him, that's where judgment will take place, on the cross. Trust in Jesus today. Let's pray. Lord, Father, thank you for forgiving us through Jesus Christ. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for how you are working right now in this place, in hearts and in lives. I thank you for that. God, I think of the things in my own life that I have done wrong, that I articulated out as being okay. I think of the things in this room that we bring collectively as a community and we say, yeah, this isn't that big of a deal. This is the way I think about it because this is just the way I think about it. You do you, I do me. God, Holy Spirit, please work in us to see how that just breaks down, even just at a philosophical level. It's just, that's not true. And then Jesus, that natural law that you've given to us is just even woven into the very fabric of creation. That imageness that we have of you, I just pray that would draw some of us closer to you, that would be a launch spot of just reasoning out and thinking out. Man, there's something more. As we look to you, Jesus, the one who begins to teach us and grow us and lead us and guide us, even into the places of our heart that we can't identify, that we don't even get exactly how to articulate it out. Holy Spirit, please guide us in that so that we might again repent and turn from our sin and acknowledge, yeah, we are in need of one who will come to save us. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that today. We acknowledge our sin. We acknowledge we're broken. We're in need. In Jesus' name. I want to bring to you this word. Jesus, because of what he's done for you, your sins are forgiven. Not because of any authority I have, because the authority that Jesus has done, that he's given to us as a church, that he's won for us on the cross. I can tell you today, Jesus has forgiven you. You're forgiven. Even for the things you don't even fully get, but you just recognize you're a sinner. I got to repent of that. Your sin is gone. They've gone to the cross. You're forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let me leave you just kind of with that blessing. May our God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit bless you and keep you. Just may he go with you in every single aspect of your life, especially today for some of you in your reasoning as you think about some of this stuff. May you be blessed in that. May he go with you in that, okay? The Lord bless you guys.